You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Smells like football, baby.
What's happening, guys? Welcome into the Fantasy Football Smackdown. I'm your host, Kyle August. It is Tuesday, which means we're talking waiver wire right here on the show today as we're getting you set for the waiver wire ahead of week 13. Hopefully you guys all had a successful week 12, had a great Thanksgiving Day holiday as we are getting into crunch time here, just 2 weeks remaining in the fantasy regular season. And then we start that march to those championships and bringing home that hardware. Of course, this is a year-round network of shows here on the Dynasty Warzone network of podcasts, so you need to stay subscribed, tuned in, hang out with us all year round. We've got a ton of great content coming at you, even after the fantasy season concludes. We are back to our regularly scheduled programming, of course, here on the network, so be sure to stay locked and loaded for the Warzone coming at you Wednesday with a big bet, back here on Thursday with another edition of the Fantasy Football Smackdown Start Sit. Ahead of Thursday Night Football, 7 p.m. Eastern time, just like every other week. Bring those questions. Come hang out with us live. But with that, let's just dive into the waiver wire for week 13. There are four teams on by. And, of course, if you're watching this on YouTube, you get to see all of the graphics here with the rankings and the ownership percentages and so forth. So if you're a little late to the game, it's not too late. Come get hooked up with us on YouTube. Just subscribe. Turn those notifications on. You'll get the live content and bonus content as well. Four teams on bye in week 13, the Panthers, Browns, Colts, and Titans. Again, that's Panthers, Browns, Colts, and Titans. There are another four teams on bye in week 14 as well, so no reason to fall asleep at the wheel as there are going to be some guys missing from your lineups in these important matchups down the stretch. Top three ads, regardless of position. As you guys know, I've used a 50% threshold for this, using Yahoo ownership percentages, but this man as of recording this is at 51% owned and will be plastered across every waiver wire show known to man this week. It's Alexander Mattison at 51% owned. He should be the starter for the Minnesota Vikings for at least the next 2 weeks with the injury to Dalvin Cook. And if you have any fab, if you have any waiver priority and this man is somehow on your roster, maybe you didn't listen to Waiver Wire Sniping this week where I said this guy was somebody that you should probably stash. If he is available, you need to unload everything possible to get this guy on your team, as he should be a top 15 running back across the board in fantasy football the next 2 weeks. And if anything else, just prevent other managers in your league to getting this man. So Alexander Mattison would be number one for sure, but he's 51% owned, so I just left him as a side note here. The sub 50 group, regardless of position, Jamal Williams, number one with the DeAndre Swift injury at 39% owned. Van Jefferson at number two, coming off a 9 targets and a touchdown, 46% owned. Another guy that I mentioned on the waiver wire sniping show last week. And number three, I think this guy could be a difference maker if you are struggling at quarterback, Taysom Hill. He's 5% owned and has taken the first team reps right now at the quarterback position for the Saints, who will be facing off on Thursday Night Football. If this guy's the starter, with his rushing ability, he is a force in fantasy football. He needs to be owned in more leagues. All right, let's talk about quarterback streamers. I mentioned Taysom Hill gets the Dallas Cowboys. That's, again, Thursday Night Football, and he's 5% owned. This is a guy that, as long as he's the starter, he is a top 12 fantasy quarterback, I believe. As far as that upside goes, I think he's got it with that rushing ability. Number two, as far as streamers, if you're looking at the quarterback position, it's Tua. He's averaged 19 fantasy points per game over his last 5 starts. You got to take out the one where he came in relief, but he's been pretty solid as of late, and he gets a good matchup here against the Giants. If you can manage this, Tua could be a 2-week streamer over the next 3 weeks as he gets the Giants this week, that week 14 bye, and then he plays the Jets in week 15, which is week one of the fantasy playoffs for most of us. So I know obviously you guys probably have that first round bye, but if you needed a week 15 starter as well, Tua is a great ad at 33% owned. Taylor Heinicke, safe floor, low ceiling, 34% owned. You know what you're getting with this man going up against the Raiders in Vegas. Number four, Tyrod Taylor. Nice performances the last 2 weeks for streaming, 19 and 16 fantasy points, but gets the Colts in week 13. That's a tougher matchup, even in Houston, 11% owned. Tyrod being number four for me. And number five is Jimmy G going up against the Seahawks, 34% owned. That's going to be in Seattle. Tougher matchup on the road there, but I would take Jimmy G over the likes of Trevor Lawrence, Matt Ryan, Daniel Jones. So just kind of file that away for wherever you need there. And then last but not least, I put this as a side note here for Superflex leagues. Watch out for the Jalen Hurts injury. Philly reported that he's got an ankle injury. He's a little bit banged up. Philadelphia has a week 14 bye. So if the Eagles elect to rest Hurts for the week 13 matchup and get him healthy for their playoff run post bye week, Gardner Minshew would be the add there. So protect yourself, add this man. All right, running back position, tons of names here. So we'll roll through this quick. Madison, like I said at the top, he's cleared away the number one add. He's 51% though, so he's right above this group. I got 10 running backs sub 50. Here we go. Jamal Williams, like I mentioned earlier, he would be my number one player sub 50 regardless of position. Swift, unlikely to play in week 13. And Williams saw all but one carry in that Thanksgiving Day matchup once Swift left the game. Number two is Matt Breida, also played on Thursday night and was the lead back between him and Singletary against the Saints, with Zach Moss being a healthy scratch. I think Breida's shown he's working his way into this offense, 23% owned. While he's a step below Madison and Williams, he's still a guy that you should add. Tevin Coleman, 16 carries, was the lead back for the Jets, as Carter, the rookie, is going to be out for at least another 2 weeks, 18% owned. Coleman is widely available and could be a spot starter for you here down the stretch. Number four and five on this list are the Carolina Panthers running backs of Ameer Abdullah and Chuba Hubbard. Now, obviously, CMC's done for the year. We know that. The Panthers are on bye this week, and so I'm not exactly super excited about adding these guys because their immediate returns are none. But then when you look at their schedule down the stretch, it gets tough. Atlanta coming out of the bye, but then fantasy playoffs, you have at Buffalo, Tampa Bay, at New Orleans. Those are three of the top run defenses in the league, and this has already been a backfield that's kind of gotten cloudy since the signing of Ameer Abdullah, getting him a little bit more involved. I actually prefer Abdullah, who's available in almost every league, to Hubbard, who's owned in 39% of leagues. But again, they're heading into a bye week. So Devonta Foreman would be my number six add. He's 46% owned. The Titans are heading into a bye, so I don't think you have to prioritize this man. While he did have less yards than Hilliard, he had 19 carries, which was more. He was getting the goal line work as well. So I'll get into Hilliard here in a moment. But I think Foreman has a pretty safe role as a low-end flex option at the running back position once the Titans return from bye. Ty Johnson's number seven, 40% owned. I don't like what I saw with Tevin Coleman to have Johnson any higher, but he seems to be getting still enough work there where you could play him a flex in PPR. Number eight is Rex Burkhead, who led the Texans offense in snaps and carries. Number nine, I put Hilliard and Jerry McNichols in here combined. Hilliard 29% owned, McNichols 17% owned. I'm not sure that Hilliard's role stays the way it is when McNichols is cleared. He just has a concussion, so it's not like it's an injury that should keep him out for many more weeks. But Hilliard had 12 carries, the two targets, nice to see from him. But again, heading into a bye, all of these Titans running backs are players that you have to roster for at least 2 weeks to even have the opportunity to play them. Number 10 on this list, I have him at the very end here, is Boston Scott at 19% owned. Monitor the injuries to Miles Sanders and Jordan Howard. Again, Eagles heading into a bye. If Scott's the last man standing, you definitely want to add this man. But because of Sanders and Howard, you have to rely on both those guys being out to have them a little bit lower on the list. So I'll quick recap for you guys here on the podcast that don't have this in front of you. It's Madison far and away above, but then the 50% or less, it's Jamal Williams, Matt Breida, Tevin Coleman kind of in their own group. Then you have Abdullah, Hubbard, Foreman. All those guys are on bye, 4 through 6. Then there's another tier drop between Johnson, Rex Burkhead, the remaining Titans running backs, and then Boston Scott's in there at number 10. I also highlight these four running backs as well that I think are priority handcuffs that could find themselves in a situation where they need to be rostered. Number one is Sony Michel, 27% owned. We're hearing that Daryl Henderson is banged up. Unlikely that he's going to miss time, but if he did, Sony's going to skyrocket. So he needs to be rostered in a lot more leagues. If you're looking at Ty Johnson or whatever, and you're like, I don't know, we're getting down to it, man. What else are you looking for? Yes, there's a few teams on bye, but I think these handcuffs are just as important, if not more important, than a lot of those guys above. Sony Michel, 27% owned. Devontae Booker, 35% owned. Samaje Perine at 5% owned. And Ronald Jones at 19% owned. Consider adding these handcuff running backs ahead of some of the depth pieces that you would normally add middle of the season. We're getting down to it. It's crunch time. You need starters, or at least to protect against injury. So make sure you're doing that. Even if you don't have those running backs, I think those are handcuffs that any fantasy owner should be looking to add. All right. Little less shorter list here the rest of the way. Wide receivers. Van Jefferson at 49% owned. He saw he played all but one snap for the Rams. Odell Beckham came out of that game a little bit banged up. They both scored touchdowns, but I still think I prefer Jefferson over OBJ. And with Jefferson being sub 50% ownership, he's going to continue to be on this list. Saw 9 targets this last week, so I like the kid. Number 2 is Kadarius Toney, battling injury. 47% owned. He didn't play in week 12, but his next few weeks are down the stretch here in the fantasy playoffs are going to be really good. Cowboys, Eagles, Bears. I like Tony as long as he can find the field here. He should be added as he's now dipped below the sub 50% threshold. Rondell Moore is at number 3 at 22% owned. Remember the last time we saw him, he saw 11 targets. Kyler Murray coming back. DeAndre Hopkins as well. We'll see if that continues for more as far as seeing that volume, but I still like the upside of adding this kid to the end of my bench if I got the room. Kendrick Bourne comes in at number 4. He's 23% owned. 20-plus fantasy points in 2 of his last 3 games. I don't really love the add necessarily because he's still kind of playing third fiddle as far as snaps, but he does have a matchup against Jacksonville still on the board, so if you're looking, there could be that. Number 5 is Josh Reynolds. Now, got to think way back, got to get in that way back machine. Thanksgiving Day, saw 5 targets, 3 receptions for 70 yards and a touchdown. He's already familiar with Jared Goff. He played with him in L.A. Now he's with him in Detroit, and I think he's going to be the wide receiver to own for the Lions, but there's that poop crown. Good luck to you. Number 6 on this list, I put Curtis Samuel, 13% owned. Didn't get a great look at him on Monday night, limited snap count, but he made it through the game, so he's a guy that I look to stash in some deeper PPR leagues if he was left out there. All right, tight ends. Unfortunately, I had to remove the glorious picture of Dan Arnold as he is now out and on IR for the Jacksonville Jags. So at the top of the list is young tight end Cole Kmet, coming off a career high 8 receptions for 65 yards. He's seen 6 targets in 4 of his last 5 games. And at 24% owned, he is a fine streaming option at the tight end position going up against Arizona this week. Number 2 on this list is Foster Moreau. Now, I would have Moreau a little bit higher if I knew for sure Waller's going to be out, but it might just be only one game or none at this point. Moreau going up against Washington this next week. He's 1% owned. He's kind of a handcuffy type tight end look. And really, the reason I have him at number 2 is because I don't love the rest of these options, really, to be honest with you. So 3 through 5 on this list is Evan Ingram, Tyler Conklin, Gerald Everett. If you're watching this on YouTube, going to adjust that just a bit. I'm actually going to put Gerald Everett at 3. Caught the touchdown on Monday night. And with Ingram, I liked his production with the 6 targets on Sunday, but everybody and their mother was out in that game. And Conklin's tight end is a touchdown or bust, despite him having a great matchup against the Lions on Sunday. So I'm actually going to go Everett at 3, then Ingram and Conklin, rounding out the tight end streamers. So again, that 5 is going to be Kmet, Moreau, Everett, Ingram, and Conklin. I think Kmet, Moreau, and Everett would be your targets for sure if you're streaming the tight end position. All of these tight ends are available in 60%+ of leagues, with Moreau being available pretty much everywhere. All right, last but not least, the DST streamers. Still going to get you out of here in 15 minutes or less. DST streamers, Minnesota Vikings at Detroit, 17% owned. Go at them. They're playing the Lions. 2 more matchups against bad offenses. You're looking at the Miami Dolphins at home against the Giants, 43% owned, and the Kansas City Chiefs in prime time in Arrowhead against the Denver Broncos at 26% owned. There you have it. Waiver wire ahead of the week 13 games. Appreciate you checking out today's show. Warzone's coming at you tomorrow. Big bet on Thursday, and I'll be right back here live on YouTube, 7 p.m. Eastern time ahead of Thursday Night Football, taking your start sit questions. Of course, that show will release as a podcast Friday morning. So as always, appreciate you guys. Good luck on the waivers tonight. I'll catch you later in the week. I'll see you.